الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن الدين يسر ولن يشاد الدين إلا غلبه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله فصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد كما أنت أهله وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة.
Last night, well, on Monday night we have in the Muzakara with the students, so on thought or points came to mind which I mentioned, and then a few friends found it beneficial, so I will repeat that. Allah Tabarak Tala make it beneficial for all, inshallah. And let it be that what I say is understood properly. Allah Tabarak Tala's being, the Zat of Allah, is the most pure Zat. And Allah is beyond everything. Because of the purity of the Zat of Allah and the being of Allah, and because no one ever can reach any rank even close to the Zat of Allah, to have the hope that ever we can fulfill really what is known as the haqq, the right of Allah, that is impossible. Because Allah is different. Forget, even man with man, both are made of sand. The woman is made from the rub of man, same material. They speak the same language. Both will speak English. The family might say, get a girl from your own family, your own gham. So he'll go and find one that's his own. She will cook the food that he knows. She will speak the language he knows. But why then you will find the husband and wife not? Why do they have the fight? Because everyone knows that no two people are ever the same. Then you will hear the wife saying that I have tried, but whatever I do, I can't make him happy. And the husband will say, whatever I do, I can't make her happy. And then you understand when you hear the worker saying, I can't make the boss happy. That in this world, to make a person who's of your own kind happy, that itself is a kamal. It is hard. You, a boss in an institute, try to make your workers happy. And you, the worker, try to make your boss happy. It's not an easy thing. So where you can't make your own happy and fulfill exactly how the other one wants, Hazrat Maulana would always mention an example: if you got a scratch on your back, then even the most beloved to you, if you tell her to scratch, but as she scratches, she will never be able to target where exactly the scratch. You will say, move to the north, move a little up, few degrees this way. After a while you tell her, just leave me and you scratch. And also when you scratch, you will never be able to satisfy yourself how much you want it. Example, you have a mosquito bite. We normally mention a person will scratch it and he gets happy when scratching it because it's irritating. But we all know by scratching the mosquito bite, he's not going to get satisfied. It's just that when you stop scratching, it's going to start troubling. So in this world where man can never really get what he wants, and man can never please those that are of his own kind, then to ever have the hope that that haq, the right of the Zat of Allah, I will somehow manage to fulfill it, that hope is a very weak hope. But yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, together with that, says inna deena yusrun, that Islam is very easy. Ask a woman, is it easy to please your husband? He says very hard. So she can't please the husband, whereas they are of the same kind. All she has to do is she has to make chicken how he wants it, mutton how he wants it. She has to dress how he wants. A few easy things which she can understand. She can even ask. She can put on one dress and say, are you happy with this? No. And put another dress. Until the time comes where he's supposed to say, I'm happy, but the woman will say, I have given up. So where it was possible to make happy, the woman said, I gave up. Impossible. Now where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us, deen is very easy. But we know to be able to please Allah, that is not an easy thing, according to what we will understand. Because Allah is Allah, pure. The best ibadah that you will do, the day you will read the best salah, you will still end your salah with this year that, oh Allah, I have made zulam on myself. You will say as-salam and you will say astaghfirullah. That astaghfirullah is what? That it's not worthy of going. So if it's not worthy of going, then wherever will you reach that limit that you want to reach? But yet it is said, deen is very, very easy. Inna deena yusrun. Another example is, example, you tell someone, perform salah. But when you perform salah, ensure that you concentrate in your salah. Think. So the person, he got a lot of shock, happiness. And he'll come to the musalla, he'll come in the front surf, he has made a good wuzu, he says, Allahu Akbar. But how many years man is performing salah? And he's not finding, forget the other ibadat, in his main ibadat, which is only for Allah, he's not finding, he's reaching that. And naturally a time will come where he starts becoming now despondent. That if the first game I couldn't get right, where the other games are going to come? That in my salah I can't think of Allah. Out of salah, where is my zakat going to come right? Where is my hajj going to come right? And then example, he is told normally that ikhlas is a very hard thing, the last thing you will ever get. So to explain this point here, that how is deen so easy, yet to get it is so hard. Deen is very easy, yet to get it is very hard in our mind. So Hazrat Murana, in his many bayans, when he spoke years ago, and I used to be in Ramadan here, and Hazrat Murana himself gave the dars of Anwarus Salah. So one point he explained, which will be the basis of this bayan, that hotel, and you point, and he can see the hotel. So then even if there's a couple of turns, and he got no good car, he will still take the journey. Even if he has to walk, because he sees it coming, coming, coming. And a lot of times something that is far, but it looks very near. But when you start walking, you realize it is very far. Normally you'll go to places where people are used to walking. You ask them, where is the toilet? A person who got an urge to go toilet needs it urgently. So they tell him, around the corner. So how he'll go? He just reaches the corner, he asks, just around the corner. Going, going, going. But because they all told him just around, he carried on moving. Later on, when he reaches the toilet and he does what he has to do, now when he has to return, he realizes he did a couple of kilos already. Couple of kilos. On this recent safar we reached, they told us the tree is just around the corner. So just because of that word around the corner, a person who is feeling it hard to walk also is moving. The child in the pram also somehow they're pushing. But if we reach there and they told us, you know what, it's far. You'll see three quarters of the people turn and say, you know what, we'll sit in the car, I'll carry on. Just around, around. In the ending, that around, around came to 500 meters in, size of 1 kilo. That was just around the corner. So when you tell someone something is near, he'll make the trip. But imagine you got an urge to go toilet. And you ask the person, where's the toilet? He says, very far. Day and day, everything will come out. Because Very far means what? That there's nowhere to go. So you must always have something in front that go there. But if the thing you're pointing to is not there, then the person looks, he can't see it. And a lot of times the man directing, he also can't see it. But he heard it's there. So he's saying, there it is there. Otherwise looking, oh okay. He can't see it, this one can't see it. Both of them don't know where it is. Like in salah example, if someone has to ask me how to perform a good salah. So the normal answer would have been that you say Allahu Akbar, and now for the next 5 minutes, which is not a hard thing, your mind must drift in no direction. And in front of you must be the arsh of Allah Tabarak Ta'ala. Jannah on one side, Jahannam on one side. You are standing and answering, so the person is also, big eyes, he's listening. But you also never did it. You heard it. So he also says, okay, okay, he tried, he doesn't see it. And you also know you never saw it, but you know that's the road. Someone maybe reached it, but you never reached it. So Hazrat Mawlana at that time explained that there are two things. And he says, because of this, many people have never made the effort they were supposed to make to get what's supposed to be gotten. Because it couldn't be seen. It was not directed, that there's it there. Very easy. So he says, many a time in the issue of concentration in salah, think of Allah. What was a good thing? The waqi'at of those who Allah Tabarakala blessed with amazing concentration was mentioned. And people would normally make ta'aleem of it, read about it, and would have a hope that one day I can inshallah reach there. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu performing salah, and a snake is in the house, and everyone is running up and down, but he doesn't hear it. So everyone has that hope, that one day, but every time we try and perform the salah, we hear everything. So now immediately we are told that's how you must get it. But that's how, we don't know how to walk. So day and day we try one time, two times. And then new person will tell you, okay, just carry on reading nafar salah, it will come one day. But it's not coming. So Hazrat Mawlana says, what was mentioned in those waqi'at, that is mahmood. Mahmood means that's a very high level, a unique level. But it was never matloob. And there's a big difference between matloob desired and mahmood praiseworthy. I mentioned the example yesterday, if a boy answers an imtihan paper, and the writing is very smart, the answers. The imtihan paper, the answers are the main thing, not how you wrote the answers. But after when the ustad marks the paper, three people will have good marks. But from the three, one got good writing also. So the ustad will praise him that, you know, your writing very good. That is mahmood. So the other people now in the class will think now that if I write neat, I'll get a good mark. But whereas matloob was the right answer. If the answer is not there, your writing is not going to give you anything. Because they never understood a difference between what was asked for and what was extra. So now you get one student whose writing is terrible. And if you got terrible writing, you rather buy a computer. Because you can carry on practicing, it doesn't come right. But that person misunderstood now. So now the rest of the year he practices writing. Whereas what you are supposed to worry about is learning the answers. And to get the answer is an easy thing. But to get your writing right is not a very easy thing. And finally when he's not reaching where he's supposed to reach, and he gets shouted, and he thinks that, how can he shout me? I'm making such an effort. But he's not coming. Because he was not told, this is what you must do, very easy. And that extra, inshallah, it will come. If it doesn't come, no problem. So what is this concentration? So one is what we have heard about. A man says, Allahu Akbar. And Hazrat Mawlana's words is called istighraq. Istighraq means he becomes so absorbed in his salah that he knows nothing of the world around him. And it's a unique level. But that level also, it has to be controlled. Because if you got no control of it and you the imam of the masjid, and you say Allahu Akbar, and you go into Jannah, and the whore comes in front, and now you're in sajda. Now you're seeing that whore, you think you're going to lift up from sajda. Now you carrying on, 5 minutes have gone, now your musallis one by one start looking, the imam's a pass away. Because he's not moving. That imam, he makes a mistake, now the people gathering, subhanallah, he's not hearing, he's gone. After the last imam, so what happened? He said, me, I was in Jannah. He said, from now on, you the muqtadi. We will never perform salah behind you again. You going into Jannah, you leaving us behind. So there we understand, when Rasulullah s.a.w. made it very clear, that in my salah, I hear a small child crying at the back. So I immediately think the mother will get worried, I think. That means the mind is thinking. That the mother will get worried, quickly shorten the salah. Which Hazrat Mawlana says that a kafir had no takalluf. They never used to make a show. So he says Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith would perform long rakats of salah. Long rakats. But whenever someone would come and sit near Hazrat and Hazrat would understand that this man needs something, he would end his salah. He says, had it been a annari, annari means inexperienced, when he sees that man sitting, he'll carry on longer. To show, look at my salah. I mustn't show, I know he's there. So our kafir had no takalluf. They sense the man is there. Quickly, they ended the salah. Ji, finish. Why? Because they weren't putting on a show. That me, I'm in other worlds. So what then is this concentration? Because now we know concentration doesn't mean you become oblivious of the world. So what is concentration? So I say if you put someone in a car and you tell him concentrate when you're driving, otherwise you'll have an accident. So there's two ways of concentrating. And the journey is a long journey. He's going from here to Durban. He has to concentrate, but how is he going to concentrate? One is he can put strain on his mind that I must see the road and only the road. I must not hear, I must not see anything else but the road. After 5 minutes, he'll start getting a headache. He can't drive. He'll tell you rather drive, I'll sleep. This is too hard. But a man who drives, he knows what concentration. In his concentration, he'll be hearing the GPR saying, turn here, turn there. He'll hear his wife saying, don't listen. He'll hear his child calling for something. He'll be eating. He'll see the board, he'll see the signs, he'll see the camera. He'll put on the radio, he'll say, more concentration, put on the radio. Otherwise, I'll lose my concentration. And we all know if he doesn't see everything, and he becomes oblivious when driving, then he's gone. Now while driving, he's just seeing the road, he never saw the car, but finish. Then they ask him, what you were doing? He said, I was looking at the road. Say, you don't drive that. So what was concentration in driving? The whole world knows it. That's why it's so hard thing. But tell a person you have to concentrate, and your mind mustn't go anywhere, no one will drive after that. It's very hard. Now you bring yourself in salah. Now you have to concentrate in salah. Now you know I don't have to be oblivious of anyone. I have to hear things. I have to hear the imam saying, Allahu Akbar. I have to hear my own self. Imagine my wuzu breaks and I'm oblivious. The old Muslims will hear my wuzu. I never heard it. They say, imam sir, your namaz. You say, I never heard nothing. So you can't be oblivious. You have to know what's happening. But then what's concentration then? Concentration is to know you driving a car. So in salah, to know you performing salah. That's all. Aqim as-salata li dhikri, establish salah to think of me. So how do you think of Allah now? Now the mind of man, it has to be trained. Practice. You tell a person you have to practice shooting. You don't make him shoot for 5 hours. You make him shoot 3 bullets. Then say, come next week. Because the mind has to be trained. Put the mind on something very hard, it will get tired immediately and will say, I'll never do it again. How now does the mind get trained to think of something? So very easy, you go for Hajj. At the airport, your wife says, you'll think of me. You say, obviously. Why I won't think of you? Now when you're in the aeroplane, how much do you think of your wife? You think of her maybe when you see the air hostess. Then you think of your wife. And hope if only she was here, I wouldn't be looking at another woman. Then you forgot, now you slipped away. Now when you reach the airport, you're not thinking of your wife, you're worried of customs. But as soon as you go past customs, you remember she said, think of me, you send her a message. Gone through customs. Now you reach the hotel, you thought of your wife, send her a message. In every new stage of your Hajj, you're remembering her. Now you reach Arafat, message. Mina, what happened, message. But then you're talking to your friends, everything's happening. Then you go Muzdalifah, now you're coming back, message. Now when you come back home, Is she going to punch you for forgetting her, or is she going to hug you for remembering her? She will say, you never forgot about me. So many messages that in every change you thought of me. So ulama said, salah is very easy now to remember Allah. That one thing you can do is, in every change, Allah said, think of me, so I think of Allah. So when I started my salah, Allahu Akbar, what I said? That's why the word Allah is said. But if you don't know the language in English, then say it in English to yourself, in your heart. Otherwise, Allah means Allah. You don't even need a dictionary to translate. Allah means Allah. So you thought, as long as you know, you say Allah. Then when the imam went, Allahu Akbar, there is your second Allah, meaning I'm changing a condition, send an SMS. Now the imam said, Sami Allahu, Allah is listening. I remember Allah is listening. Keep wanting, Rabbana, laka alhamd. Because you're listening, O Allah. Now during the Surah Fatiha, while the imam is reading, your mind is going to drift. If it's a silent salah, definitely it's going to drift. And if it's a loud salah, it also drifts. You might be thinking what the imam is reading, as you're thinking that what duha comes. You say, he's reading what duha. Then you think about when I was a child in madrasa learning what duha, the ustad hit me. You go on. You started, your intention was never bad. But as soon as you hear Allahu Akbar, you back out. SMS, oh Allah, I'm in front of you. So I'm moving, we are moving. Now the salah is moving, and in every condition I am remembering my Creator. Every condition. And I haven't put a strain on my mind that makes sure you don't go anywhere. Because the mind doesn't like to be put under strain. I made it very easy for my mind, that relax. But every time I make a turn, I wasn't going to say, Allah, there's that Allah. I remember it. Now you're coming at the end of the salah. So very easy. Some ulama made it even easier. Like that wife, you say, you remember me. How I forget you. But now you never remember her. All journey you never remember her. Now just becoming, before coming back, I forgot. So what you do, quickly you send a message that, you know what, ran out of airtime or lost the phone. Or battery dead. Now when you come home, she's happy with you, isn't it? Now Allah you can't fool, but in Allah it's istighfar. So the namaz, whole namaz went and you never thought of Allah. Right at the ending when you hear the imam saying, As-salam, immediately pull out. Say, hey, what I'm doing? Say, oh Allah. And then As-salam, As-salam. And you might think that it won't be enough, but Allah tabarakallah, that is what is called shakur. See, you go to visit a person. He's an old person. And he wants you to enjoy his house. In his house there's a swimming pool, table tennis, there's horses, there's a lot of things. And he knows that you and him can't sit and look at each other all the time. You get bored. So what he says when you come, come and meet me. So you go, Assalamu alaikum, chacha, how's it? Everything's okay. Everything is okay now. And then you move. Now you go enjoy the whole day you enjoying his house. The next person who comes says, you know, Ahmed came to visit you today. He says, yeah, Ahmed was here. He spent no time with me. How much time you spent? You only spent 1 minute, but you put your salam at the beginning. Ram here. Some ulama have mentioned at the beginning of the salam, you just have it, oh Allah, because beginning is the easiest. But oh Allah, I'm here. He said, afterwards, wherever you go in the house, but you gave your salam at the beginning. So if it's asked, did he pay his respects, it will be ticked that he came. Very easy. Ulama has mentioned to such an extent that the best is in every posture, remember Allah once. But some have gone to the extent who said that if you remember Allah once in the whole salah only, we have great hope that Allah will accept it. So after mentioning this here, one student came to me and said, but then what about the narration? That the salah will be taken and thrown into the person's face. So I told the person that you must understand that in the world there are two groups of people. Now you won't understand it because there is no Islamic rule. But there was a time when the Islamic rule was there, there was a law. That if you miss your salah, you will be killed according to some. According to some, you will be jailed, you will be whipped. You won't be regarded as a Muslim at all. Now that person is in a Muslim land. And he doesn't like the Zaat of Allah at all. He is a murtad from within, or a hypocrite to the highest level. He hates to submit. That person comes to the masjid because everyone is coming to the masjid. He comes there and he says, Allahu Akbar, because everyone is saying. He got no worry whether I even got wuzu or no wuzu. And in the salah, he got no worry that I am supposed to think of Allah. He will start the salah without any concern and end the salah without any concern, as long as I ticked that I was in the masjid. So to that person, Allah Tabarakullah says, my friend, Allah is not such that he needs every single one salah. Otherwise he'll force the whole world. If you don't want to perform the salah, take your salah back. I don't need it. But then I told the boy that, see, another person, he leaves his house for the fajr. He wakes up. He's tired. He rubs his eyes. He makes wuzu, the water is cold. He comes to the masjid, it's dark. What is pushing him towards coming? There is no nazim or commander behind him. There is no force that's going to whack him. During the journey, if anyone asks him why, he will only say one thing, because it's my Allah's command. Now he comes into the masjid. Why he is coming? To please my Allah. He walks to the front of the masjid. He says, Allahu Akbar. And as soon as he says Allahu Akbar, shaitan makes his mind drift. And it drifts. And at the end when the imam makes salah, he feels, eh, what happened? So he says, do you think Allah Tabarakullah will take that salah and fling it back at his face? Or will Allah appreciate the entire effort he made? See, the Zat of Allah will appreciate it. Why? Because it comes in a hadith that when Allah wrote the actions of man, He wrote that when man makes a good intention, as soon as the intention is made, the angel is told, write the action. And if he manages to make that action, the angel will be told, write times 10. As soon as he wakes up for the Fajr Salah, that angel is told, sign it. Because he's not being pushed by anyone except that he's coming for me. Allah is Shakur. If even a man is told you will come for the Salah, but if you don't think you're going to get a hiding, I would say, I rather don't go. So the Zat of Allah is a very appreciating Zat. But Shaitan has made it that we have began thinking that many things in Islam are very hard. So now to get a salah of concentration becomes very easy. Why? All it needs is that, oh Allah, from the beginning I only intended you. And when I'm coming to the masjid, I know in the salah I have to think about you. And at the end when the imam says salam, all I have to do is say, oh Allah, I tried, but you are you. Make maaf. There and there Allah Tabarakah has already signed it at the beginning. But because you ended your amal with istighfar, that oh Allah, make maaf, the angel will be told time sin. That what he is supposed to do, he did now. Now it's my job. And what is the job of Allah? That which is not worthy of acceptance now gets accepted. Now the man got shock for salah now. Because now he knows to think of Allah is a very easy thing. Ikhlas. Ikhlas is a very high thing. To get ikhlas in a person's life, like how it's mentioned, is the last thing that will really come. But if you tell the person that the last thing in the world is where you're supposed to go, where are you going to go? So you tell him ikhlas is very easy. So he says, how? I say, do your action. Do it. But now when you did it now, whether it was a dini action or a dunyawi action, say this here. That, oh Allah, I ask your forgiveness for all those actions which were not deen. And then I ask your forgiveness for all those actions which I thought was deen but which was not deen. Those are the two actions you do in your life. One is a bayan. We think it's deen. But whether it's deen or not, that Allah knows. And then there are many times when you know this wasn't deen. So Allah, I ask your forgiveness. The proof of it is, when Sahaba radiallahu anhu heard that Allah doesn't like shirk, that Allah will never accept that you associated partners with him. And then they heard that there is two levels of shirk, khafi and jali. Jali is the open one. Khafi is the hidden one. And then they heard that it is so hidden like that ant on the dark night. So hard, how are you going to find it? So immediately they asked, then how do we get out of the shirk? So Rasulullah ﷺ could have given two answers. One is take a light. And the dark night you have to find an end. Look, look, look. But already when it's told it is so dark you can't see it. It was told that you can't find it. So what was said on the other? That every time say, "Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness for making shirk with you. Of what I know and what I don't know." And what was that called? That was called, that's your ikhlas. How come it's ikhlas? Because if there was no sincerity, then why are you asking Allah to forgive you? If you were doing it not for the boss, you're not going to go tell the boss after it, make mouth. You were never doing it for him. You're not concerned of him. You're not bothered. I was never doing it for him. But if you were doing it for the boss, and you know exactly how he wanted, there were too many flaws, you will go to him and say, "Boss, I know I never make you happy. I tried." Boss will say, no, you carry on. Everything's done. So ikhlas suddenly becomes very unique, very easy. Allah Ta'ala then brings a time where man starts getting the real fruit of these a'mal. That he starts understanding what is salah, thinking of Allah, which is in a level. But that time comes when Allah Ta'ala brings it upon the person. That you can't direct the person. There's it there. Turn there. And you will get it. That the man reaches it without knowing how he reached it. And every person will reach it in a different level. Some will get that becoming oblivious of the world and they will feel no pain. Some will get it that sometimes they will hear nothing around them. Not all the time, but different people will get different levels. But all that will be, you can't direct. What can be directed is what we have been told you have to walk towards. So what we have been told to walk towards is a very easy deen. Nothing hard in it. Inna deena yusran. And I only mentioned an example of salah, and I mentioned a small example of ikhlas. But in this you can work out the whole deen. That everything in deen, it must not be that shaitan makes you feel very hard. Rather it must be very easy. Because Allah Ta'ala loves me, so He's not going to make life hard. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah Ta'ala said, I never made it hard for you. Rather it's been made more easier than the people of the past also. لا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. That, oh Allah, there are some things which are a little bit hard. Don't even put it on us. Said, accept it. You don't even put it on you. Easy stuff. You got a very easy deen. Just make your effort. Walk. In that walk, even if you fall, you will be regarded as moving. You will be carrying on. So what? How to please the Zat of Allah? If it is in our mind that I have to do so much. You say, the sky is my limit, you'll never take off from the earth also. Where are you going to reach the sky? But if it is that my Allah is Shakur, a most appreciating Allah, then small things become big things now. Small things. A small thing that I'm driving and I see, or I'm walking and I see a rock. How to please Allah? Allah is Allah. If I really had to please Allah, my demand would be that I must become the dustbin cleaner and clean the whole town. But instead of cleaning the whole town, I haven't got time. So I saw one rock, I lifted it and put it on the side of the road. And I had hope that in this one amal, Allah will give me Jannah. Someone tell you, mad. But you did nothing. Even the mayor won't pay you for that action. You just move the rock. If you need the mayor to really appreciate you, clean the whole town, look at the dirt. But by Allah, I picked up that one rock because I know He is a most appreciating Allah. Rasulullah said, one rock moved from the side of the road and it could open the man's Jannah. One rock. So very easy deen. Small amal. You're in a mood. You don't want to see anyone. At that time one person walks in. And the person who you don't want to see the most when you're in your mood is who? You might say your wife maybe, but it's not your wife. It's a collector. Because money is a unique thing. When that collector walks in, at that time in your mood, then just think that one smile could open my Jannah. One smile. Whereas normally it will be told to really get your Jannah, please all the collectors, make them smile. And he's out of your. How much you going to give him? But all you did is I smiled. Why? Because my Allah is looking. One smile. Because now it became a very easy deen. That small actions are big actions. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Iman or Islam has many branches. It's like a tree which got many branches. And he said the highest branch is La ilaha illallah, which is Asl Tawheed, a very high level. And he said one of the lowest branches is you removing something from the road. And then he said Haya, modesty is also a branch. But what it meant was, It meant is that in the tree of Iman and Islam, there are many branches going in different directions. So what is the demand? The demand is to climb the tree. Now when you have to climb a tree, how you climb it? You'll never tell a person when you want to climb the tree, make sure you touch every branch. All you will tell the person is the closest branch, grab it. So what will happen in this world, every person will have a different tabiat, a different insight. One person's insight is just to help people. And he does a lot in helping, but in nawafil is not so strong. Another person, a woman in the house, what's her amal? Her amal is that she is modest, she got haya, and she tries to make her husband happy. She might not be going out and giving dawah to the world. She might not be reading Hizbul Azam and Munajat and Maqbool. But when she dies, it's told you made your husband happy, all the doors of Jannah open for you. What happened? She just grabbed on one tree which was within her reach. And another tree which she found away from her reach, that tree is you have to give bayans all over. She said, me, I can't talk. So normally it will be told whether you can talk or not, jump on the branch. But Allah Ta'ala says, all the branches are there. You grab whatever you can. Whatever one is easy for you. Certain times when you're driving and you're not in a mood for anything. You are hafiz of Quran, you're supposed to be reading Quran. But now you forgot the verse or your Quran is not there, so you're not in the mood. Now you don't want to make dhikrullah also. Tired. Hazrat Hakim Sahib showed one time when he lifted his finger. The Mawlana said that he lifted his finger, then he asked, you know what I'm doing? So the Mawlana asked what? So he said at the moment, everyone is talking and I also got tired of saying Allah, Allah, Allah. So when the tongue got tired, I just put the finger involved. Now you're driving, your hand is on the steering wheel. You're tired now. The journey is long and the traffic. You don't want to say anything also. So all you have to do is every now and then, make shahada with my finger. He said, now you might think that's a very small action. Not going to get you anywhere. But by Allah, it gets you everywhere. Because this tree is a very easy tree. Grab whatever you can grab. Whatever is within reach. Whatever you're finding, hey, this is good. Everyone will be different. There was one time one of the brothers, he complained to me that he said the problem with the Mawlanas is that when janaza takes place, then you don't see the Mawlanas getting. He says only if a friend of the Mawlanas passed away, they say all the alims of the madrasa come. Otherwise, you say so many people passed away, they don't pitch up. So one thought, one answer came to my mind, which I told him, he wasn't very happy with the answer. So I said, you see my brother, there are so many different doors to go to Jannah. So because the Mawlana has got so many doors already, they're leaving one door for you also. The Janaza door is your door. You can't go take all the doors. But that ishkal that he will make will be a person who says, you have to do all, then only you're going to enter. And it's not easy to do all, everyone knows it. To do everything is impossible. And when you have your goals too high, you go nowhere. See, this holiday, where are you going? Say, I want to go Cape Town, and I'll go Durban, a day it's warm, day it's cold. Then I have to go pee a few days, I have to visit this auntie a few days. Now when you're looking at your schedule, you say, I won't make it, rather stay at home. You never go nowhere because you have too many places to go. But all you said is, you know what, this holiday, we just go Krugersdorp. At least you went somewhere. So have something very easy in front and you say, there, 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 around the corner. And you will see the man will start walking. Now when you will reach one, you will see another one around the corner. Then deen will be coming. This is a very easy deen. There's nothing hard in it. Whatever I want to do, that's what Allah is saying, do. But normally the worst boss and the worst worker will be, where the boss always tells the worker to do something the worker doesn't want to do. That business will never work. That the boss gets unhappy seeing his worker enjoying his work. So every time he sees him enjoying the work, he changes his work. After a while, everything is going to break. But by Allah, it's the opposite. Allah Ta'ala said, what you enjoy, that's what I'm enjoying from you also. What you enjoy. So it's very easy. Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding. Obviously, I'm not saying we don't work for high levels. That has never been said. But what has been said is, put a goal which is easy in front, which you can reach. And then Allah Ta'ala will from His side start giving things which you never saw. When you enter the hotel which you could see, Now you will see in the hotel things which you couldn't see from outside. Now you will see the bedrooms, now you will see the toilets, now you will see everything, luxury. But if the man had to tell you, you see that bedroom there, you can't see it. You will never walk. So walk towards what's easy, and Allah Pak will then show you a lot of things behind the scenes. Everything is easy. Ad-deen yusran. Walay yushad the deen. And if anyone tries to make deen hard, then what will happen? Deen will knock him off his feet. The body won't manage, the mind won't manage, and he will just say, too hard. Allah Pak grant us all understanding.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا واسع الكرم يا واسع الكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحب وترضى بعدد ما تحب وترضى اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله
إن شاء الله next week حضرت معنا احتشام الحق تاني رحم الله was a very great alim of Pakistan so إن شاء الله his son next week will be conducting the majlis إن شاء الله we should all try invite others also and we also present ourselves جزاكم الله